Hello, everyone. Welcome to Founders Grit, sponsored by Geeper.io. My name is Ravel Shiraz, and today we are with Dr. Ryan Hungi. How are you, Ryan, today?
Doing fantastic. A little rainy outside, but pretty good overall.
Well, that's good to hear. So let's just jump into this and start by a brief background. Just tell me a brief background about yourself and your work experience, even before Simplify.
Yeah. So a little bit about me. So I've got an odd background. I'm a doctor. I'm actually an orthodontist. That's where everything started. Prior to that, I've got kind of a cool background. I worked for a little company called Apple out on the West Coast. I was at Cupertino, worked directly for a guy named Ron Johnson, who was the SVP of Apple Retail at the time. It was a cool time to be at Apple. I was there from 2007 to 2008, and I reported directly to him. He reported to Tim Cook and Tim Cook to Steve Jobs at the time. So it was a really cool time to be there. I was responsible for the front of house workflow. So I came up with the process of triaging people as they walk in the front door because we didn't have any of that. And we got a cluster of people coming in and it was absolutely crazy. So, you know, obviously the iPhone came out that year. So we kind of went from having a small amount of people in the store, which was still very busy, to an insane amount of people in the store. So I basically said, we need to start triaging people, directly routing them to people who know what they were talking about, doing all the transactions in one place from maybe a certain device. We didn't have an app store, so we had to use pocket PCs. At the time, we mounted receipt printers underneath the desks, and then we would literally find five or six steps to the front door and try to move those people out of the Apple store as well, without them knowing, but also having all of their, you know, questions and product purchases found. It worked really well. And we got to deploy that in about 300 plus retail locations worldwide, which was really exciting. From there, realized very quickly that, you know, a lot of my friends were going into the healthcare business and realized that their software absolutely sucks. Meaning that they had great clinician software, but they had absolutely terrible business software. So realized I got to go to dental school. I got to go to med school. I got to do one of these things to realize what's actually going on here. And maybe I can get in there and actually fix it. Got to dental school, realized that the biggest problem was, well, they're not teaching anybody business. So that's where Simplify comes from. We decided that we can't teach these doctors business. We don't want to. They want to be clinicians, not business people, right? They have great businesses. It's just they're not run very efficiently. And on top of that, if you can automate a lot of the front desk processes, like scheduling an appointment, getting a lot of your questions answered, processing payments, and getting brought back into the office, well, you can do about 98% of what that front desk needs to do, where then they can focus on the crazy stuff, the, hey, you screwed up this appointment, hey, you screwed up my insurance, which is what they're very good at. It's those things in between that they, you know, it kind of wastes their time. So that's what Simplify does, and that's what we've created and what we're still building to this day for all retail healthcare.
Wow, that's very interesting. You've basically shortened the process.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about your experience with the remote employment, like both as yourself working remotely and employing remote workers.
You know, it's interesting. So we had remote workers from the start of it, like even pre-COVID, which is very interesting. So, you know, we utilize an SDR team, which is they're making scheduling and making appointments for our sales reps overseas. Okay, so, and then we also have some engineers, which I think a lot of companies have overseas as well. All of those things have challenges, but we actually have those people working directly through us. Like we don't actually, you know, have those people through a different company or anything like that. But, you know, actually we have that with other people as well, which works really well too. So, you know, one of the things that we have to work very hard on is creating that culture while people are remote and keeping people connected and feeling like they are very mission driven. So I think we're pretty darn good at that. When COVID hit, you know, everybody went remote. Every single person. We're based out of New York City. We also have an office here in Indiana as well, which is where I'm at today. But we didn't have that at the time that COVID hit. So March of last year, everybody just kind of scattered and went home. You know, we had one test day. That was it. And then everybody's like, and then literally 2 days later, we're like, oh, we're going home for good. So, you know, it was a challenge. It was one of those things where at first there was, how do we keep in touch with each other? Do we leave Zoom on all day to kind of see each other's faces and have quick connections? One of the things that I've found that, you know, is tough with remote is remote is fantastic for execution and really tough for planning, because one of, you know, a startup's greatest assets is the fact that I could spin my chair around, ask you a question, get an answer, come up with an answer together, and move on, right? It's speed. And remote takes a lot of that speed access away. Remote's even harder for obviously sales teams, but we've made we've been able to survive that as well and really find new ways to kind of deal with it.
That's great. So what's been your takeaway from this experience?
Well, the takeaway from this is that, you know, I feel like certain pieces of our team really enjoy being remote. And it's interesting because now we're talking about going back to the office, right? In New York, especially, we've been back in the office in Indiana. We've been able to social distance because it's easy to find that space. But in New York, we haven't, because it's mostly because of the travel. How do I get to and from the office in a safe manner? So we've allowed all of our employees to stay at home. But what's interesting is finally the other day when I said, hey, by the way, next month, I think we're getting about coming, you know, going about coming back into the office. And almost every single person was like, well, can I have the opportunity to work from home? And they were asking these questions, which is very interesting, because all through COVID, they're like, I can't wait to get back to the office. I want to get back in there and have the camaraderie. But now all of a sudden you blow the horn and everybody wants to come back in. And now everybody's like, oh, can I have a couple days here or a couple days there? So it's just interesting. Some positions I feel like can definitely be remote, right? Customer service teams can be remote. I feel like engineering can definitely be remote. I think that they almost prefer it indefinitely, right? Like it's just one of those things. Obviously planning is a lot easier because, you know, you usually have a stand up once a week, or, you know, you can just contact people over Slack. Heck, half of that, you know, our engineers only spoke over Slack anyways, even if they were sitting next to each other. It was just better. One of the things I think that suffered the most though was sales, and not so much account executives. Like account executives, they do really well because they understand what it takes. They understand what they need to do to survive. But it's the sales development reps, the BDRs, the SDRs. When you're starting that job and training on that job, right, you know, it's 98% rejection, right? You're just being told no every single time. We're a completely inside sales team. So they're making 100 to 120 dials a day, you know, and when you're starting those people up, you need the pit to be in, to look to your right and say, okay, he's being told to screw off. Oh, she's being told to screw off. And I'm being told this too. We're all being told the same thing. This is normal. Whereas a sales SDR job, when you're being trained remotely, a lot of times, you know, we use Slack to show wins. So then you kind of get this Instagram effect, right? Where all you see on our Slack channel is win, 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 win. And then if you had a bad day, it makes it 100 times worse because you think I'm the only person, right? Everybody else is winning. Why am I not winning? It's that, I call it the Instagram effect, because it's the same thing. Nobody ever posts, hey, just had a great argument with my wife. It was fantastic. Check out the picture I took right after. Right, they only post the ones on vacation, and they think that, hey, my life's miserable. Why is my, you know, everybody else not having the same thing? So I think SDRs, especially, or just initial account executive training, is very difficult. Once you get people up and going and they're self-sustaining, it makes a lot of sense. But training becomes pretty difficult. I like remote, and I think it's something that we can definitely continue to do. And I think it's what a lot of our employees want. You know, we just have to find ways that we get people back into the office and continue to have that culture, that really special culture that we had all along, in a remote manner. So that's one of the things that I want to continue to try to discover upon.
You raised a very interesting topic that people do not want to come, don't want to come to the office anymore. That's very interesting, because I see it now, and even nowadays, not just with remote work, we have gotten so used to just being in our homes 24/7 that you just don't want to do anything else. Even hybrid is out of the question most of these days. Speaking on that, what do you think is the future of remote work? What needs to be done differently to make it even better and more effective?
You have to somehow be able to maintain a culture within remote work. Remote work is inherently very isolated. Right? You are by yourself. And if you are the type of person that is good as a team of one, it's perfect for you. Hence engineering, right? They have a ticket. They go complete said ticket. They go on to the next ticket. And it's them by themselves. You aren't, you know, coding with the other person sitting there. There's times when engineers like to do that, And I think there's applications for that, but it's often quite rare. Now, when it comes to things where you need constant management, right? Sales is the perfect example of this. I think that inside sales in a remote way is terrible, right? I think it's one of those things where I just have seen a lot of, at least the management side of it is really rough. You know, we utilize AirCall, and AirCall has this really cool feature where the left part of your headphone can be the person you're speaking with and trying to sell to, and the right side, you can have a manager talking in your ear. Now, there's a thing that we call mirroring, right? Where a manager will sit there and look you in your eyes while you're talking to somebody and say something, and you say it back to the person on the other side. It's how you learn, right? It's how you mimic this person. It just doesn't work the same way on a headset where you're not seeing their lips move. It's very difficult to listen to two people simultaneously. It's almost impossible. So the learning curve for sales has gone from where we can ramp somebody in 3 months, so it almost takes 6 months. And sometimes it just doesn't happen. Where I feel like I could have gotten somebody over the hump in person, it's very difficult. So training on certain types of things, it's just not for me, right? It's just not for us. Now, things like engineering, customer service, all of these things can be done in a remote fashion for sure. The thing that I always come back to is how, you know, as a startup, one of the only kinds of currency I have versus a sales force or a, you know, a larger corporation, like, you know, I'm in Indiana. So right now, so we've got Eli Lilly and a lot of these bigger corporations that want to offer jobs, and they can obviously outpay me if they wanted to, right? They have the bank account to do it. Obviously I have options and that kind of currency, but it's just a little bit different. What it comes down to is culture currency, right? Are you happy at your job? Do you get to talk with the cool people around you? Because, you know, Simplify hires like-minded people, and I want to bring in, you know, my whole theory is hire geniuses and get the hell out of their way. And that's what we do. We hire geniuses, we get out of their way, we try to guide them along the way, and it works very well. And other people like to hang out with those geniuses. So how do we create something where we can give the feeling of having beers in the, you know, the office on Fridays, or just hanging out for an hour afterwards on Fridays, or even during the day, having lunch with each other, you know, and just shooting the shit about, you know, hey, what are you doing this weekend? How's life going? Those are the pieces that remote work misses. And I feel like if there's a company that can somehow simulate that exact piece, then you're going to, I mean, A, you'd have a multi-billion dollar company. And I've seen a couple out there that are trying to do it. I just don't see, it's not easy. You have to go out of your way to actually operate it. It's not, you know, one of those things where you can just run into people. So I feel like if somebody out there can create something like that, you got something really special.
Yeah, there was this company I was reading about that basically does video chats with all of your Kelsey, what do you say? All of these, all of your employees. So I feel like that kind of gives a feel of being forcefully involved in some activity rather than partaking in it.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we do things on, it's cool. So the things that we've done with remote work is we've done cribs. So everybody kind of shows your, you know, remember MTV Cribs back in the day. So we do cribs where you kind of show your remote work setup, kind of show people your house or your apartment. You can kind of show off. It's kind of fun. We also do like on Fridays where we hop into Zoom and we go into breakout rooms. And basically what we can do there is we force people into like 5-person breakout rooms, and you just shoot the shit and you're talking with people, and it's a lot of fun there. And people love that, by the way. It's actually remarkable how much people like that. You still don't get 100% participation out of it, which is fine. Yeah, you don't have to, but it's, you know, that's one of the things we do. The other thing that's much more interesting is because you're kind of like on an island, I realize that I have to have a lot more company updates, right? So normally we would do quarterly updates, works out really well. And then, you know, we do like a state of the union at the end of the year. We need to do this every month. Right? We need to really keep everybody up to date on what's happening, what's changing, what's going on in engineering, what's going on in CS. Because it used to be, what was so cool about Simplify, and it still is, and it'll be this way again, is that CS would talk to engineering. Sales would talk to engineering. Engineers would talk to product management. Like all of these people would just kind of, you know, meander in the office and hang out. And they were all friends amongst their groups. So it would naturally spread information. And it was a lot of fun. So that's really hard to simulate in a remote environment.
Wow, that's very interesting. So there are companies like Gaper that help develop, build, and scale products, especially for startups.
Yeah.
How important do you think such startups are in the startup world and for founders looking to have like quick hire smart? Looking to quickly hire smart.
No, I think it's a no-brainer. That's how we grew. That's how we got off the ground. You know, I think it's silly for, especially when you're in building mode, like how do you figure out if something works and why would you bring on a gigantic team to do something if you don't know for a fact that what you're building is even correct, right? That's the biggest thing I always tell a lot of my friends who are getting ready to start things up. I'm like, hey, you know, they're like, do I hire an engineer? Do I hire a product manager? I'm like, look, you need all of those things. But the problem is I know you can't afford them, right? So what we do is I highly recommend that people go out there and they work with companies who can help them understand the things they don't know. Because a lot of times they have no technical background either. I was very unfortunate in that I didn't have any type of technical co-founder, nothing. I'm an orthodontist, right? Literally the way that I grabbed my first couple engineers is I would go into graduate engineering classes at USC, wait for the person to answer the most questions right, and I would beg them to work for me. Like literally that's how I did it. Because that was how I figured out that, you know, I'm sure these guys are smart. They're answering all the questions, right? Maybe they'll want to work with me as an engineer. And that's, it worked out for me, but it wasn't easy. Whereas, you know, if I could talk with somebody that could walk me through the different pieces of the puzzle that I need in the first place, it would have made me go a lot faster. Cause it took me a whole basically year and a half to get things up and off the ground technologically. Heck, I raised funds prior to having like an unbelievable tech team. You know, it was very back of the napkin-ist type napkin-like stuff with, and we were able to get, you know, a product out that was sticks and glue kind of held together and people were using it and people were paying for it, but it was nowhere near what it should have been to be scale ready. Right. So, you know, I highly recommend people speaking with people who are experienced in building products, because the most dangerous part about building a product, in my opinion, is you don't know what you don't know. In that process, and hiring somebody or bringing on a group that can help you with that is, you know, priceless.
That's a great saying. You don't know what you don't know. That's very interesting.
Yeah.
Well, sadly, that was the last question. Thank you so much for joining us, Ryan, today. It was a pleasure hosting you. I hope you have a great day.
You as well. Great for being here.